Good morning.
Good morning, Maria.
Oh, let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So how many of you have ever heard today's scripture reading before? Kind of heard it, right? Some of us have heard it. Some of it might be the first time that we're hearing it. It has been commonly referred to as the Great Commission, right? The Great Commission. And, you know, when we think about commissions, we think about commissioners. That's what comes to my mind when I think about a commissioner. I think about commissioners. And we have a lot of modern day commissioners, don't we? Like when I lived in New York, there was a commissioner that was in charge of everything. Here we have county commissioners in Florida, but up there you had a commissioner of the Department of Health, commissioner of the Department of Transportation, commissioner of the Department of Education, commissioner of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, commissioner of Parks and Recreation, and the ever so famous commissioner of the New York City Police Department, right? We know a lot about, you know, city police department or police commissioners. And these commissioners are representative of, if you look it up in the dictionary, it'll say of a supreme authority in a particular area. So like, for example, the Commissioner of Education in New York, that commissioner is appointed by and works for, or they say serves at the pleasure of, the governor. And basically has jurisdiction, so I guess the governor is considered the supreme authority, and has jurisdiction over the education system in New York. There's also the commissioner that's appointed and serves at the pleasure of the mayor, so of New York City, for example. And that commissioner has authority and jurisdiction over all of the police officers in the five boroughs of New York City. So I have a quiz here for you, and I want to see if you recognize any of these maybe famous commissioners. Okay, are we ready for the first one? Anybody recognize that commissioner? Oh my gosh, who said that? Commissioner Gordon. Commissioner Gordon, who is he the commissioner of?
Batman.
Gotham City. Yes, Gotham City. Mm-hmm. Batman helped Commissioner Gordon whenever he needed help. And we know that Adam West, who played Batman in the original series, had passed yesterday. And so do you know who the mayor was? Anybody remember who the mayor was, who he worked for? Any New Yorker? You be quiet back there, Carl. Come on. Any New Yorkers that are living in Florida now that used to live in New York like in the 60s? Mayor Lindsay. So the mayor of Gotham City was Mayor Lindseed. A little takeoff on Lindsay. Yes. Okay, the next one. Anybody recognize this guy? Who said that? The commish. Yeah, it was actually a television series that was on back in the early 90s, I think it was. The commish. And this is Commissioner Tony Scali, who had resigned as from New York City Police, went to a small fictitious town in upstate New York and worked for the mayor of Eastbridge. And it was actually based on the life of someone who lived down here, actually, in Florida. So we also have sports commissioners. Anybody know who the sports commissioner, no pictures, of the National Football League is? Roger Goodell. Roger Goodell, yeah. Who does he work for? Who's the supreme authority that he works for? Anybody know?
The owners.
The owners, yeah. How interesting is that? Yeah, the owners. His election is based on 20 out of the 32 owners voting him in. And he can be fired by 20 of those 32 owners. So I want you to take a look at the next slide. Look at that crew. I know, we laugh, right? It's not an actual photo, but that perhaps might be what the disciples looked like at that time. And this is a picture of the disciples becoming commissioners. Isn't that an interesting way to think about it? Now, let's go all the way back to what happened. They are back where they began. They began in Galilee. And next week, in the coming weeks, we're going to hear about their story of being called. You know, we get to read the ending first, and then we go back with the eye on what happened at the end. Sort of like, does anybody here read the last chapter of a mystery before they go back and then read the whole thing? Some people do that to see if they can find the clues. That's actually what we will be doing. And so they are back in Galilee. What has happened is that Jesus has risen. It is that Sunday. And the women in Matthew's gospel went to the site. There was a huge earthquake. The rock rolled open. There's an angel there. The guards are stunned. They all saw the show. Matthew's account is different. The accounts are all a little different. And the angel says, when the women come, go and tell the disciples that Jesus said to go to Galilee because he's going to meet them there. How interesting. They're going back to where they started. And then the women run into Jesus, the risen Christ. And Jesus says the same thing to these women. Go back, tell them, tell my disciples to meet me in Galilee. I am going there ahead of them, and I will meet them there. And so the women go and tell the disciples, and so we pick up where the disciples go. They're going. Notice 11 of them are going. We know that one is no longer with them, the one who betrayed Jesus. So now they see, for the first time, a very much alive, once dead but now alive, Jesus on the mountain. And they go up to the mountain. And Jesus speaks to them and says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go make disciples. So the disciples are being commissioned as commissioners. They truly are the representatives of the supreme authority over all of heaven and all of earth. Because Jesus just told them that all the authority has been given to him. So go and make disciples. Now, these are 11 commissioners who were sent to baptize and to teach to all nations, which means everyone, everywhere, everywhere, and everything. Now, I have a question for you. Do you think these guys were ready for given such a vocation? Really think about it. I really want you to think about it. That they're to take on this work. Do you think they have the total confidence, the security, having all the answers? I mean, just the night before, Peter denied knowing Jesus. And yet, look who Jesus just commissioned. Do they doubt? Yeah, actually, the Greek word that's used for doubt, it says some worshipped, some doubted. Well, it's a deeper meaning in doubt. It's kind of a both and, where you could be in both places at the same time, where you can be, psychologically, like you can be worshiping, but yet doubting at the same time. We call that as Lutherans both and, right? We're both saints and sinners. So we both worship, and yeah, we can doubt. Just like these disciples were in that place. We can be devoted, and yet we can still be uncertain. We can glorify, and yet we can have hesitation. We can praise, and we can still question. You see, these disciples didn't have it all together. In fact, in today's world, I don't know that these guys would be commissioners of anything. Isn't that interesting who God chooses? Not the ones who have it all together, but the ones who are still working it out as they go along. And that's the same commissioning for us today, each and every one of us. God sends us today as good news commissioners. Do we have it all worked out? Goodness knows I don't. Do I have all the answers? Goodness knows, no, I'm still learning. But you know what we're promised? We are promised that Jesus will be there before we even get there, and Jesus will go with us. That's what we're given. That's the promise that we're given. We don't bring God to people. We don't bring the Holy Spirit to people. The Holy Spirit is already there. We point it out to people, as we talked about last week. We show people, especially when people say, wow, that is an incredible coincidence. Coincidence? That's our opportunity to say, that's God at work. Isn't that beautiful? We meet people where they are. We don't knock them over the head and drag them, kicking and screaming. We invite them to think about what God is doing in their life, just as we're trying to work out together what God is doing in our life, in the life of all the people in this world. You know, I'm going to be the first one to tell you that I can't quote scripture verbatim, but even if I could, I'm not going to, because that scares people. They think like, oh my gosh, I have to know this. No. What you need to know is how to then translate it to the person you're talking to. That's what you need. So my go-to scripture is, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word for me here is Jesus. And so I visualize what that means to me as I go along. There are certain scriptures. Do I want to put, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son? People will be like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about. We put it into very simple language for the person that we're talking to. You want to know how much God loves you? God left the throne. God left heaven. God became visible as a human being, humbled God's self, and took on the form of a baby. That's how much God loves us, so that we could have an intimate relationship with God, so that we could know God, so we could understand God better. We don't know everything, but that's how much God loves us. God came not to condemn the world, but to reconcile, so that we would all be reconciled with our Creator. And how did God do that? Through the death, through the cross, and through resurrection. And then God ascended back and sent the gift of the Holy Spirit, God present with us. A lot more understandable, isn't it, then, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son? That's what you need to share, very simply. And when you get scared, it's okay. The Holy Spirit's already working in that person. I remember the first time I ever figured that out. It was almost like the Holy Spirit slapped me on the head and said, really, Marianne? Do you think you have sole and exclusive rights to me? I am already working in Carl. Oh, okay. Thanks for letting me know that. You know, it's one of those, especially when we go into a situation where someone is in pain and we say, I have no idea what the heck I'm going to say. Of course you have no idea what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit is already with that person. You take that person's hand and you say, I'm here for you, and let them talk. That's the presence. That's going and making disciples. There are, I'm going to tell you, I don't even want to say hundreds. There are thousands of books out there that are going to tell you how to make disciples. I don't know that Jesus sent them and said, the Holy Spirit will be with you. Now, not that those books aren't good, because I've read and read and continue to read, because there's insight that can be picked up in relationships. But it's not found in a book. It's found in God. In God the Father, who is Creator. In God the Son, who's the Reconciler. In God the Holy Spirit, who keeps us and breathes new life into us. So this is our vocation. We're called to tell about God's love and mercy, grace poured out through God incarnate. We're called to point out the activity of the Holy Spirit, and we're called to invite people so they can begin this exploration in a non-threatening way. We don't do this because God's up there keeping points. Okay, Marianne, you got good girl. Not so good over here. Of course not. We understand that's not how God operates. That's not a gracious God. That's a God who says you got to start, you know, getting points on the board in order to win. That's not who our God is. Why would God have had to have left the throne and come as a baby if that's the kind of God that we have? No. This is a free gift given to everyone. Jesus is already there before we even arrive. So for us, we can say together, everywhere we go, everyone we meet, everything we do, we are Christ's hands and feet. And I'm starting in my head to put a little song to that. So I'm going to invite our musicians to do it, because if I do it, we're in trouble. But that's something to think of it. Everywhere we go, go is the action word there. Everywhere we go, right? Everyone we meet, everything we do, go and do, you know, that kind of. We are Christ's hands and feet. Go, meet, do, and feet. I want you to consider yourself this morning to be a co-missioner. Co-mission. We do this with God. We don't do this on our own. We do this with each other. We are co-missioners. We are sharing the grace of God, which is God's mission, with everyone that we meet. So I want you to consider yourself to be the commish. You're the commish. When you leave here, you are the co-missional people. Commishes. Not to be confused with knishes. The co-missions of God's good and great news. That God's grace is freely given. That our sins are forgiven. And that life, new and everlasting, beginning right now, is given. Amen.
Amen.